podcast of One Star. Today is Sunday, February 10th, 2008. I know it's been a while since I've posted one of these, but honestly, I've been trying to decide which direction I want to take this podcast. I've still got my super secret hidden blog that will get updated most of the time. I still prefer to deal with the written word, but having a podcast gives me a chance to expand upon some things, adding another dimension, as it were, to simple words on a screen. Tonight's edition is one such example. I'll tell you right now, I'm reading this from a script. I sat down yesterday and wrote out exactly what I'm telling you right now. Yes, I do prefer to speak extemporaneously, but rather than have you, gentle listener, follow along as I offer a bunch of random thoughts and ramblings, this podcast is a presentation of a sorts. Over the past few years, I found myself lacking in passion. No, I don't mean anything sexual, please don't misunderstand me. Rather, I haven't been passionate about anything. There hasn't been any subjects or controversies or whatever that I've given a good crap over. Oh, before I forget, I'm going to try and refrain from using, adult languages in these podcasts, simply because I don't wish to offend anyone's sensibilities or possibly limit any audience that might want to listen. Heavens forbid I drop any of George Carlin's infamous 7 words you can't say on television. I wouldn't want to be responsible for anyone's ears falling off. As I was saying, there hasn't been anything I've been passionate about. I've been living day to day, dealing with either my kid or whatever drama might have passed my way, and, well, I felt a little empty because of it. I've never been the kind to follow whatever cause might be popular that day, sticking to things that are important to me, but most other folks, well, they don't care too much about. But recently I've found a spark inside me, something I haven't had in some time. Maybe I'm finally getting past the various dramas that have been part of my day-in, day-out existence. Can't say for sure. Those who know me, truly know me, know that music is an integral part of my life. And while I'm not a true audiophile, I don't own any serious musical equipment, but I'm happy with what I have and it works well for me. I do care how my music sounds. It's more than just background noise. It's something that I need as much as air or water or sleep. Over the past few weeks, some of the guys at work and I have been talking about music and how bad current music sounds. It's more than just the lack of decent artists there are today, and please, I'm not saying this to cause any controversy or to start a discussion about who's good today and who isn't. I'm not averse to finding good new artists. I'm always looking for somebody who'll stand out, and believe me, I've found some good new talent. Rather, we've been talking about the music itself. It just doesn't sound good. It's more noise than anything else. Here's a saying, if it's too loud, you're too old. Well, that's not always the truth, you know. Granted, when it comes to rock, unless the volume's turned up to 11, it doesn't seem right, or at least that's what they want you to think. It's all well and good if, when you pop in the CD, you crank up the volume and play it as loud as you want until your ears start to bleed, you shatter every window in the house, or your dog goes deaf. That's your choice. But what happens when the music is too loud to start? That's the point behind this podcast. What happens when the music is so loud it just ends up becoming noise, or what's worse, background noise? Ladies and gentlemen, gentle listener, tonight we're going to be talking about the loudness war. Odds are, for most of you, that's the first time you've heard the phrase, the loudness war. What, are we at war with another country? Did Bush finally go and start a conflict with Kim Jong-il over his hair? No, it's not that kind of war. This is a war that some fear may have already been lost because no one really knows about it, and what's worse, not too many people really seem to care. Here's something to think about. When was the last time, if you enjoy listening to music, you actually sat down and listened to a new record? I don't mean listen to a new record when you're in the car driving from point A to point B, or have it in your iPod when you're working out, or have it on in the background while you're doing taxes or homework or eating dinner. When was the last time you actually sat down and listened to a record just to listen? You know, it's almost a lost art in this day and age. We're so busy multitasking that we no longer honestly have the time to listen to our music and savor the experience. It's, well, I've got to go take Junior to karate or dance class or to see his parole officer. Or,
oh yeah, I had it on in the background while I was doing the laundry or cleaning or spanking the marmoset or...
Well, you know what I mean. I'm just as guilty as the next person. Don't think I'm trying to put myself over anyone. There are times when I buy a new CD that I'll have to listen to it in the car on the way to work or shopping or out to see the kid because I'm too busy to actually sit down and listen to my music. As I'm preparing this podcast, I've got music on in the background. I'm only partially listening to Simply Red as they perform their cover of Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes hit If You Don't Know Me By Now. Actually, I like the original better, but this is still such a timeless classic. I'm not fully listening to it, and therefore I'm not fully enjoying a great song. Our music, the soundtrack of our lives, is being relegated to the background, just more noise in the distance that we just hear but don't actually listen to. So if music is more noise, as I've said, where does the term the loudness war come from? The best way I can truly explain this isn't to tell you, but rather to show you. Let you listen for yourself and hear the noise that is music today and let you form your own opinion. Is this really what I want? Do I just want crappy, overproduced music, or do I want something the way it was meant to be? Music with flow, dynamic range, and substance. Something I'll actually enjoy listening to. I'll admit it, the loudness war kind of took me by surprise. Since I rarely listen to newer, more mainstream artists, I hadn't really noticed the changes in the way music is presented, or rather, that it was being overproduced. The first time I really noticed was when I bought Shakira's Oral Fixation Volume 2 CD. I'd heard most of the songs from it, believe it or not. How could I not? They were being played everywhere. And decided to get the disc when I saw a special edition was going to be released with a track with her and Wyclef Jean. Well, I got the disc, popped it into the player here at home, and started to listen. It was all well and good until I got to the track Hips Don't Lie, the extra track with her and Wyclef, and I cringed. What the? There was something wrong. I knew right away. It was loud. I mean, loud! It wasn't pleasant. It didn't match the flow of the rest of the record. It stood out worse than I might if I went to an Ice-T concert back in the late 80s. Believe me, I had far more graphic descriptions for that analogy, but I am trying to keep it clean here. The record finished. I took it out of the player, and I haven't played it since. That one song, so annoyingly loud, turned me off from the rest of the disc. I keep an external hard drive at work with ripped MP3s from my collection. Normally, I'm not fond of MP3s for reasons I'll get into later, but it's nice to have my music at work. I've got a decent set of wireless headphones. Once again, not the best, but they're good enough for background noise while I'm working, and that way I don't disturb my coworkers. I took the Shakira CD and ripped it. For the tech-savvy out there, I use a program called Exact Audio Copy, ripping the CD at 320K. Yes, that does mean they take up more space, but they do sound better. I've noticed for years that songs ripped at the higher bitrate sound better, but never bothered to think why until recently. Popped it in the drive and let the software do its thing. Oh, EAC is excellent for ripping scratched and worn discs, just in case you're in the market. After it finished for splits and giggles, I decided to listen to the offending song. My jaw almost dropped. The ripped MP3 actually sounded better. That shouldn't have happened. An MP3 should not sound better than the original source. Now, in case you don't know, here's an idiot's guide to what happens when you rip a CD track to MP3. Basically, with a 3-minute song, you've got roughly 30 meg of data as far as a computer is concerned. It's not that exactly, but since this is an idiot's guide, work with me here. That same song, when ripped to MP3 at what they, the so-called experts, call CD quality, or 128K, it shrinks it down to roughly 3 megabytes. That's what made MP3s so desirable, their smaller size. It's considerably easier to download, at least when MP3s first appeared, and today too, to download something 3 megabyte compared to something 30 megabyte. But there's a catch. When you take something the size of a watermelon and shrink it down to the size of an apple, you're going to lose something. There's no two ways around it, and when taking a CD track and shrinking it to MP3, there's no exception. MP3s are considered a lossy format. Lossy means that some of the data, some of the music naturally, gets lost when you convert it from the original source. Most of the more popular music formats, MP3, the Windows Audio crappy WMA, and even my beloved Ogg Vorbis's .ogg, are lossy formats. Something gets lost when you shrink the songs down. Now, to answer your unspoken question, yes, there are lossless formats, like FLAC and Monkey Audio's APE, but then you're still going to get that large file size. You're not losing anything, kids, so it's got to stay nice and big. Okay, so what is lost? They say you lose a lot of the high and the low sounds. Sounds, for the most part, you're not going to miss, as long as you're not listening through really good equipment. But hey, with those crappy little earbud earphones you got with your iPod, you're not going to notice much. The more you compress an MP3, the more gets lost. Still, that didn't explain why an MP3 would sound better than the original source recording at first. It wasn't until I started looking around before I understood that the track was oversampled and overproduced. It's either that the single was designed for digital release originally, in other words, it was supposed to be sold through something like iTunes or their ilk. I have no love for music retailers, online music retailers. I'll get into why later. Or that the producer just wanted the song to be loud, to compete with every other loud song out there today. It was then I began to understand. There's a loudness war going on out there. It wasn't always this way, however. When the compact disc was first introduced back in the early 1980s, it presented many benefits over other recorded forms. It was far more durable, could hold more music, and more importantly, most importantly, had a greater dynamic range than standard records. Okay, we're going to get a bit technical here for a few minutes. Forgive me. I'll try and open the Dynamic Range Book for Dummies, but I'll still have to use some technical terms. Put simply, dynamic range refers to the difference you hear in sound, from the softest whisper to the loudest roar! Sounds at a distance sound softer, but when they get closer to you, they become louder, right? Well, that's pretty much what dynamic range is. When records, or LPs, were the de facto standard for recorded music, there was a limitation to the dynamic range available. Some of you listening might not be old enough to remember records. But records were platters of pressed petroleum that had one big long groove written into it. A needle went across the record through that groove, heard the music that was written into the groove, and played it back through an amplifier, namely your speakers. The deeper the cut in the record, the louder the sound, believe it or not. Well, they could only cut so far into the record, otherwise it'll come out the other side, and there was only one space for one hole in a record, in the middle, where it was placed on the spindle of the record player. Some folks still swear records are better for that very reason. It was a natural sound. It wasn't cleaned up, it wasn't perfect. There were little pops and scratches long before scratching a record became a form of music itself, but it was limited. Along came digital recording and the advent of compact disc. It could have a greater dynamic range, meaning that you could have better sounding music. You could start off quietly, luring in your listener, making them almost strain to hear, to appreciate the sound greater, before you came in with a crescendo much like the clap of thunder at the height of a storm. Once it had you, it held on, and you were taken on a journey into the power and the glory of music. But then, times changed, as they are wont to do. Over the past 15 years, there's been a change in the way records are produced. They've become louder, with much less dynamic range. It's all right there in your face, a wall of sound, and none of the subtle nuances you had in the early days of compact discs. There's some discussion why this change occurred, and no definite clear-cut answer. One theory is that radio had a hand in the loss of dynamic range. When you hear a song on the radio, it's more of a constant sound. There's very little dynamic range because they normalize the song as it's played. We'll get into the concept of normalizing in a bit. Because music was played at one constant over the radio, some say, record companies began to tell record producers to make the records louder to normalize them as well, so that they sound like they do on the radio. Well, this is called radio-friendly music. Another belief is that artists themselves who wanted to make the music louder, so it'll get played and it'll sell. After all, if a record doesn't sell, they don't make any money after the RIAA gets their cut, naturally. If a record doesn't sound as loud as every other record out there, what's to make it stand out? Heavens forbid an artist create a record that stands out on its own merit, rather than just being as loud as everyone else's. Okay, now this is the cool part of the podcast, at least for me. I've been telling you about dynamic range, but as I said early on, I'm going to add a new dimension and let you listen to an example. I have a decent CD collection. It's not huge, but it does have some varied titles and artists, and I do have some older discs. For this example, I'm going to be using Centerfield, a classic rock track by one of my favorite artists, John Fogerty. The original CD was released back in 1985. Actually, I had it on vinyl first before I had the CD. Please note and pay attention how the song sounds. Yes, it's quiet by today's standards, but there's a nice emphasis on some of the sounds. Okay, now take a listen to the same exact song as it appears on his greatest hits compilation, The Long Road Home, released in 2006. The difference? How the second version was so much louder from the start? The clapping was so loud that when the music started, it lost its emphasis. It was just loud. That second version has been what they call remastered. Basically, someone, likely not the original recording engineer from the original session, but someone brought in either by the studio or sometimes by the artist themselves, makes the sound more like the rest of music today. Basically, the remastering engineer uses a computer to normalize the song. Okay, this is one of those few moments where not having this in print is going to be a problem. When you look at a waveform, basically how a sound looks, you'll see a line that has peaks and valleys along a horizontal line. The peaks naturally represent the louder parts of the sound. As I'm recording this podcast, I watch the waveform as it's being created. I can see my voice as it gets quiet and there are fewer peaks, or when I get my voice loud, the peaks grow and become more intense. Well, the re-recording engineer takes the original master track and gets rid of those peaks and valleys. He strips out the nuances of the sound and makes it all one big loud noise. Whatever beauty and subtlety was there in the song is gone. All that remains is noise, a very loud noise that sounds like every other loud noise out there, so will ultimately fade into the background. The music is as much a victim of the loudness war as a listener. Now, I mentioned earlier I'm not a fan of MP3s and online digital retailers. Stores like iTunes and their ilk, personally, I avoid like the plague. Yes, I did have a $15 iTunes gift card, and yes, I did use it, but let me tell you, the songs just weren't the same. I can hear the difference. I might be in the minority here, but I notice the little things in songs, especially when I'm listening closely, and I'm not the only one. There was an article in the New York Times some time back about a doctor in Indiana who had a very expensive home theater system installed. high-end speakers, projector, the whole nine yards. After it was finished, he put his iPod into the dock and played it through the system, only to be very disappointed. When you buy a song from an online retailer, when you buy a digital MP3 file, much like the one you're listening to now, and yes, I do appreciate the irony, you're getting a compressed track that's not as good as the original source. Yeah, you've got your song downloaded through your high-speed connection to your iPod. Yes, you can burn it to a CD in iTunes, but when you go to play it back in your nice stereo system with those nice, big, high-quality speakers, all you're going to hear is that compressed music track. The highs and the lows from the original recording are long gone, never to return. Once compressed, they're tossed out much like yesterday's garbage. If you don't mind settling for half a song, then sure, download all you want. Sure, it's convenient. It's instant gratification, right up there with microwave popcorn in my book. But then, to me, Jiffy Pop always did taste better. Ever hear some guy drive past with his stereo thumping, blasting so loud, even with all the windows all the way up, all you hear is the thump, 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 so deep in your chest you think your heart's going to burst? You know that can't be good for his ears. He's going to deafen himself before he hits 30, but that's not the only way he's hurting himself, possibly you as well. In a recent article in Rolling Stone posted on their website on December 26, 2007, and there are links at the podcast website, well, let me read you what they have to say. Quote, "The inner ear automatically compresses blast of high volume to protect itself. So we associate compression with loudness," says Dr. Daniel Levetin, a professor of music and neuroscience at McGill University and author of This Is Your Brain on Music, The Science of a Human Obsession. Human brains have evolved to pay particular attention to loud noises, so compressed sounds initially seem more exciting, but the effect doesn't last. The excitement in music comes from variation in rhythm, timbre, pitch, and loudness, Levetin says. If you hold one of those constant, it can seem monotonous. After a few minutes, research shows, constant loudness grows fatiguing to the brain. Though few listeners realize this consciously, many feel an urge to skip to another song. Unquote. If you can't pay attention to the song when you're listening to it because of the constant thump, 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 it makes you want to skip a track. What's that doing to your attention span, let alone your hearing? Could loud music be doing more damage than just causing hearing loss? Could it be causing us to lose focus, lose attention? Without those subtle little things, are we missing out on all the other things that the world has to offer? Mind you, not every song out there is overproduced. Not every singer insists that their music be made loud just to keep up with the Joneses. Some new artists actually still believe in the beauty of dynamic range and have made some truly enticing and enriching songs. There are record producers who are fighting this loudness war. They're trying to bring back the concept of dynamic range, trying to produce records with greater range, ones that you'll actually want to listen to, not just have in the background, not just more noise. Genres like classical, New Age, and jazz still rely heavily on dynamic range, even though they too have suffered from the loudness war. Remastering has made some of the older recordings louder and have cost them some of the original tone and clarity. Listen for yourself. Judge for yourself. If you're happy with the way music is today, then just nod and smile and pay no attention. They'll continue to make records louder and louder. If you believe, as I, that loud does not mean better, then there's only one way to show record companies that we still want to hear quality music: through sales. Don't buy the remastered recordings. Don't buy the digital downloads. It's as simple as that. Go out and find the older CDs in used record stores. Yeah, they're getting harder and harder to find, but if you found the passion, as have I, for better sounding music, it's worth the search. Maybe this loudness war isn't lost yet. Maybe there's still a chance. Only time will tell. If I have increased your interest in the loudness war, then I invite you to visit my podcast blog, onestar.podomatic.com. There's a number of links, including a link to a YouTube video that sums up the loudness war in 2 minutes far better than my ramblings. I invite you to stop there, take a look at the links I'm offering, and judge for yourself. If you're a member of Facebook, you can join the group End the Loudness War. It's a small group now, but with more people, maybe we can convince the recording companies that just because you turn up the volume, it's not making the music any better. Thank you for listening. This podcast was produced by myself in the comfort of my own home. Any and all music in this presentation is from my own collection and is offered purely for sampling purposes only. If you like what you hear, go out and buy the CD, just not the remastered one. Copyright 2008, One Star Inc. For more information on the Loudness War, please check my podcast blog at onestar.podomatic.com. Feedback on this blog can be mailed to onestar@podomatic.com or at any of the other 10 million email addresses you know for me and already use. A transcript of this blog is available in PDF format upon request. Have a good night.